everybody. Welcome back to the Vegas Guys Locker Room. I'm your host, Jay. Listen, I'm flying solo today. So we're going to talk a little bit of hockey. It is the NHL trade deadline, and it just passed. Waiting on some news. Little late show today. Just waiting to gather all the information on some of these trades. Lots of movement. Man, there was a ton of movement in the league today. A lot of teams making their move, trying to make the move to the playoffs. We can't break down all of it because there was so much going on, but we will highlight some of the big trades that I think might be game changers for their teams and heading towards a playoff push, maybe put them over the edge. As we've seen the Vegas line move as far as futures on NHL Stanley Cup winners, Edmonton leads the way at a plus 700 alongside of Florida. But I think that Florida did a little bit more, and I think Florida was a better team to go into. So I'm kind of curious to see how that one is going to work out with Edmonton being up there with the favorites. All right, notable moves for the NHL trade deadline. First off, we'll start with Boston. Boston adds some girth. They did. They added some defensemen. They added Patrick Maroon, who you know is a big body guy, gets to the front of the net, not afraid to mix it up. That should be a great add for them. I know they were looking for a little more grit in that lineup, and I think they got it. There were reports that they were looking at trying to move Ullmark, which is shocking. You know, you get the Vezina winner moving him. It's curious because it's kind of the theory now is you listen, in any year, any goalie can get there. I mean, look, Fleury was traded from the Golden Knights a year after he won his first Vezina. So this is a curious setup with Ullmark. I know that they favored Swayman. I think they're just trying to finalize that room and not have that same thing they ran into last year in the playoffs with what goaltender was going to play. But I think that, listen, you couldn't trade him. You couldn't move him. I know they were trying to move him to the LA Kings. It looks like that's what the reports are saying. They just could not work out the deal, and it did not finish in the official column. So couldn't get there. I'm sure they were probably looking to get a centerman to change their lineup and really help that team move forward, and it just didn't get there. So Ullmark stays with the Bruins. But adding that girth on there, I think that really, really bumps up the Bruins. I know they've struggled of late, looking to make that comeback, looking to get back into that commanding race in the East, which is very strong. That East is very strong. Another moves in the East, Carolina Hurricanes making big waves with the Jake Guentzel trade from Pittsburgh. And then they go out needing a center and get Evgeny Kuznetsov from Washington Capitals. Well, Kuznetsov, of course, came at a cheap price. His kind of career has been on a downward spiral a little bit. He's just coming out of the player assistance program, trying to make his way back. How he fits in that team, I think it's one of those trials where they'll see where it goes. I know Washington has been trying to move on from Kuzi for quite a while, and they finally made that move. But it does get there with Jake Guentzel and Carolina Hurricanes. So yeah, that big score they've been looking for. So Carolina's going to be good. Toronto is another one. Got bigger on defense. Joel Edmondson, that's a big boy. Added some other key defensemen into that mix. Made some trades to get better defensively. Offensively, they never have no struggles offense. Those guys can score the best of them. So looking to add a little more depth on defense. I think they did that. Good job by those guys. And, of course, look, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have been kind of faltering the last 10 games or so. I believe they're 3-6. In the last nine, they're looking at making some moves. So they made a couple moves, picking up Anthony Duclair from San Jose, speedy forward, looking to get some, and then getting Dumba from the Coyotes. Listen, Dumba's later in his career, but it adds a nice piece, right shot defenseman to that lineup. I think that's a good add. They didn't have a whole lot of assets to sell. This team has been trying to win as many as possible with this core group. They've done a great job at it. Listen, they made it to 3 straight Stanley Cups, winning 2 of them. Now they're trying to keep it as much together as possible. It looks like they're trying to prep for one more big run at it, and we'll see how this goes. But I thought there were good moves. Thought there were good moves by Tampa Bay. And, of course, Florida trying to get stronger, adding in Kyle Okposo from Buffalo, great locker room guy. You know he's going to play any position you want. The guy just wants to win, have a chance at winning. He's finally going to get his chance with Florida. And, of course, they got Vlad Tarasenko. Vlad Tarasenko from Ottawa, kind of been quiet ever since leaving St. Louis. Had a great year with New York last year. Then when Patrick Kane kind of joined the mix, Tarasenko kind of got pushed off. pushed off the power play, pushed off of scoring opportunities. The whole more is not always better kind of situation happened for New York last year, and Tarasenko was the ad guy out on that. But, of course, Buffalo's in there for the mix. They've added a ton of assets and got Bowen Byram from Colorado. Byram, I think, would be the probably number one defenseman on that team if Cale Makar was not there. Byram is a great, great defenseman, great offensive scoring defenseman. I think they moved away from him looking because he's a young player, looking at the contract. They're going to have to pay him soon. Buffalo gets a great talent on the blue line, and I think they did well knowing that their playoff push is probably not there this year and probably retooling and looking towards next year. Out in the West, very interesting story. Everybody, it's an arms race in the West, apparently. As Edmonton adds players, Adam Henrique coming over from Anaheim. Anaheim, of course, gathering assets. Still in that rebuild mode in that city. Unfortunately, it's been going on quite a while. But they did retool. Edmonton adding him. It's a great locker room guy, great 200-foot player. They've played great this year. They, like I said, they are so far the odds favorites in here in Vegas to win the Stanley Cup. We'll see if that keeps going forward. Colorado added a ton. Many, many hats. That's a whole new looking team now. Led by Casey Mittelstadt coming over from Buffalo. Gets themselves a second line center, which is huge for them. I think they really need that. And also picking up Sean Walker from the Philadelphia Flyers. Great defenseman coming there. I know Philly was looking to kind of semi-rebuild, maybe move some of these guys that they couldn't pay next season. Great moves by Colorado. We'll see if that gels together. I just think maybe they might have done a little too much, adding too much so late in the year. There, you know, for most teams, there's only about 20 games left. See how this goes with the remainder of the season. And, of course, our very own VGK. We'll talk probably more about this on the show, on the video show on Sunday with my old man. But big moves. I mean, I'll tell you, when Vegas swings, they swing for the fence. First, they get out and pick up Anthony Mantha from Washington. Big guy, can get to the net. Great skater. Looked at his stats. I mean, he's a phenomenal skater for a size man he is, and he scores a lot of goals from inside. And that's, I believe, what the VGK need, especially with Stone being out. Need that guy that's going to get to the front of the net. Was really thinking Barbashev was going to be that guy, but he's kind of retooled his game a little bit, and he hasn't really been that guy in front of the net like he was kind of last year. So kind of curious to see how Mantha fits in that. Of course, picking up Noah Hanifin, probably the best defenseman available on the market, the trade deadline from Calgary, picking him up, bringing him in at 27 years old, of course, another UFA. I wouldn't be surprised because they did give up a first-round pick that there was I believe there's going to be an extension that is being negotiated. I think this is where you see the turn for the Vegas Golden Knights because the next trade speaks volumes. I was texting back and forth with Rick. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to join us. Had a lot of appointments going on today. But they trade for Tomas Hertl. Tomas Hertl has a huge contract coming out of San Jose, and it's a long-term contract. They gave up, I believe, the first-round pick. The way the trade works, Calgary got a first-round pick. It was supposed to be the 2025, unless VGK used it to get another asset, which they did in the Tomas Hertl deal. So Calgary will get the 2026 first-round trade. And the 2025 first-round pick will go to the San Jose Sharks. That came along with a prospect, and it looks like 2 third rounds. That's what I'm getting. That's the reports coming out. Nothing's been made official yet. Still waiting to see if that's the official cost of getting Tomas Hertl to the VGK. He is on long-term IR right now, just having knee surgery in January. They say he should be good to go by the playoffs. Now, where this trade speaks volumes is it's a big, big contract to pick up for the VGK, who are already up against the cap. Now, talking with Rick, and I believe he feels the same way, it looks like maybe the Mark Stone era could be coming to a close soon. It's been so many injuries for Mark, and unfortunately, listen, at some point you got to start looking at your health. He's not a young player. He's not an old player as well, but he's not in the, I don't think he's in the upcoming years. What you're getting out of Mark Stone is what you're getting. now with all these back injuries, the lacerated spleen, which is nothing to mess with, I think there's something bigger that we're not hearing coming out of the Knights locker room. Of maybe we've seen the last of Mark Stone, possibly. Maybe he tries to make it a go, another go at it. It looks like some of these guys are starting to age out. Martinez, of course, is now on IR. That's where Hanifin kind of fits in. And now with Tomas Hertl coming up and him not being there until he gets to the playoffs, how does that gel mix? Where are you fitting him in? You picked up Mantha. From there, I thought that was a great pickup because you can kind of move him up and down the lineup. Picking up Tomas Hertl in that big contract, you're looking at him being a first line guy. So where are we going with this? Is it truly Mark Stone's era kind of done with the VGK and it's time to move on? I'm curious. And these questions, you're just gonna have to wait until we get to the playoffs, find out more information. It's interesting. Very, very interesting to see what the VGK are doing here. I like the Noah Hanifin deal. Hopefully we can get him locked up for a long-term deal. 27. I know we've got some aging defensemen. Listen, I know when we picked up Petrangelo a few years back, loved it, didn't like the contract. He's going to get paid until his late 30s at a big number. I believe it was $9 million or so. He's going to get aged out. And, of course, listen, he's playing a ton of minutes. It's getting up there as far as the minutes he's playing. And at that age where you start getting up there, it's taking a toll. So hopefully with Hanifin coming in, hopefully we can extend him and bring him in and, listen, make another run at this cup. Because as you can see, the VGK are all in. They've gotten rid of most of their assets. They are not prospect heavy anymore. They are not looking to build through the draft right now. It looks like they are going to go all in and hopefully ride this thing out and win another cup. And then we'll see what happens next year. We got a lot of UFAs coming up next year, including, you know, the fan favorite and Marshy is up for a contract at 33 years old. It's getting up there. Chandler Stevenson's going to be a UFA. This could get really, really interesting. I don't know where you're going to go with these guys, because Tomas Hertl, I mean, do you make him? He traditionally plays center. Do you make him the second line center? Does Carlson move down to the third line? Man, this could get interesting really quick here with the Knights and their struggles as of late. I mean, they're not minor struggles. It's big struggles, as they dropped another one last night in tremendous fashion, falling behind again early in the game and playing catch-up against Vancouver, which we thought was going to be an interesting matchup. And, of course, as we broke down in the video show on YouTube with me and my father, they don't have it easier with Detroit coming up and their scoring team, because it just looks like we're getting outscored. I mean, our goaltending has not been great. It's struggled as of late. Our defense has struggled of late. Lots of turnovers in our own zone. Hopefully we can get the ship righted. But those are some of the key trades. The biggest one, though, I want to know is, what's your take on Tyler Toffoli? That man seems to get traded every year. Everybody talks about how great of a player he is. But, man, I've never seen that guy wear more sweaters. I mean, that guy's moved so much. I can't remember the last team. Maybe he was with New Jersey, L.A., Calgary, Montreal. I mean, just that's in the last few years. I mean, that's just last couple three years or so. He's played for that many teams. So, it's very interesting to see what they're going to do with Tyler Toffoli. I mean, the poor man, God, he must be a tremendous renter. I hope he doesn't have to sign a full-year lease. I just hope that. I hope he has that under there. He can get out of his contract, because that poor man moves quite a bit. But as we talked about, those are the guys trying to make moves towards playoffs in the NHL. The trade deadline now over. Still waiting for some last-minute official announcements come through, but the big ones have stolen the show. The Tomas Hertl coming in the last, I believe, the last 5 minutes or so of the trade deadline. So that was huge. But we'll see what happens. We're going to see what happens, especially with the VGK, and see what the future holds and why they went out and picked up such a big contract in Tomas Hertl for that for this playoff push. Kind of interesting. So, well, a lot remains to be seen, and, you know, hey, hopefully it all works out. We know we love our Knights here in Vegas, and hopefully this works out for us. But we're going to talk a little football now. Moving on to the NFL, looking at some free agent news and needs. Looking around the league, we're going to break down just a couple of divisions today going forward, and we'll do probably two divisions a week on each show. highlight some needs until we get to the draft here next month. We're going to break down the NFC West first. Start with Arizona. Arizona needs quite a bit. Wide receiver help would be huge for them. I just don't think they have that big playmaker. Looks like in the draft they might have a shot at getting a big Harrison Jr. from Ohio State. Looks like he could fall to them in the draft at number 4. That remains to be seen. I know there's been speculation that the Pats might get him, but I don't know. The Patriots have never been big on drafting high-end wide receivers, especially with the needs they've got. They've got too many needs in that locker room. I'd be interested if they go with a high-profile receiver with nobody and throw him the ball. That could be interesting to watch out for. They do need D-line. They were 29th in the pass rush rate. They do need to get to the quarterback more, especially in today's game in that division with Brock Purdy, Matthew Stafford, and the Rams offense, and, of course, Seattle upcoming trying to get better. You got to increase your pass rush. So D-line is where I think they'll go as far as later picks in the draft. But if they do have Marvin Harrison Jr. at that 4 spot, you know that's probably where they're going to go and then fill in their defensive needs from there. Next, we'll look at Seattle. Seattle should be interesting. Yeah, new coach. Looks like they're looking to try to move on. They were looking to try to move on from Geno Smith. Don't know if that's going to be possible. And then we'll see what's going on. But I think the biggest need for them is interior offensive linemen. They did well, but you know they've got some holes with some free agents. That's their biggest question mark. Lot of free agents. I know they just got rid of their safeties, Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs. I'm sorry. But it looks like, you know, they should have enough money to bring back some of those key free agents back. It's going to remain to see where they spend it at. Do they spend it on their linebackers? Do they spend it on their offensive linemen? But that's the biggest need for them right now in addressing that as far as the offensive line needs. A lot of their guys are all free agents. The Rams are interesting. Rams also need interior O-line, but they also need corners. They couldn't stop anybody throwing the ball. You had to get in high-scoring events with the Rams. Hopefully they can find themselves a decent corner. I know corners are not a strong point in this year's draft. Maybe they moved in and looked to interior offensive line. Look to that, maybe pick up some pass rush. I know their interior defensive line is great, but some pass rush on the LA Rams would do them a whole lot of good moving forward and making a run at the NFC West next year. Now, of course, now you got the San Francisco 49ers, the defending NFC champs. Offensive tackles of glaring need on the right side. McKivitz was not very good. I believe he was one on the bottom as far as time allotted per pass. I believe it was like 2.6 seconds, and his guy was getting to the quarterback. It's got to do better, especially when you got Trent Williams on the left-hand side, who's going to be 36. How much good football he's got left? Listen, he's still playing at the top of his game, but the older you get, you lose a step every year. So I think they need to address that, the interior offensive line. That's where their biggest needs are. I believe the O-line is going to be their needs. It's going to be interesting to see how they work this out. I know they're going to be up against the cap. A lot of guys getting contracts, Brandon Ayuk. We're going to see where things go with the San Francisco 49ers and see if they can make another Super Bowl visit, hopefully a win for a change. But, we'll see what happens there. Next, we'll look at the NFC North. The Vikings, we'll start with them. Of course, they need to answer their quarterback question. Cousins or not Cousins? That is the question with the Minnesota Vikings. They are a powerhouse if they have Kirk Cousins in that offense. Got the receivers, got all the other pieces. Most of the offensive line is coming back. I believe one guy, their left guard, is the only exception who is going to be possibly a free agent. I think he'll go. He was only one of two guards that did not give up a sack the entire year. So interesting to see. He was one of two guards that did not give up a sack. And it also looks like they're going to need probably an edge rusher, pass rusher. Their biggest pass rusher was Daniel Hunter last year, and it looks like he's going to be heading for the open market and trying to get a big payday. So that's going to be questions that be answered for Minnesota. Next, we're going to look at the Green Bay Packers. With the Jordan Love experiment in full force in Green Bay, some needs there. It looks like they're going to need a running back. Aaron Jones is getting up there in age. Left tackle was an issue. They need to get there. If you're going to keep Jordan Love there, you got to keep him on his feet. He's got the weapons as far as receivers. Got two great tight ends. Who knew? I know I drafted, I got one in fantasy. And, of course, the other one emerged as the better. But I digress. I think their big need, of course, is going to be D-tackle, stopping the run. That was the issue they had most of the year, and protection of the quarterback. I think that's where they're going to go and look to improve their team here in the offseason. Now we'll talk to the Detroit Lions, the guys who probably should have made it to the Super Bowl. I know I did at halftime. I thought that game was done. Their needs are still another pass rusher. Aiden Hutchinson looked great this past year. I think they need to bulk that up, move that along. Interior offensive linemen, they've got some guys headed for the open market, so that could hurt them as far as in the interior offensive line. You got to replenish that. That was where their strength was, running that football. Fortunately, they didn't do it in the second half against the Niners to get to the Super Bowl. But we'll see if they retool that moving forward and get that going. Defensive backs are where they're going to need both safeties and corners. I know they struggled there last year. I think that's where they're going to focus on most of their attention and probably try to add a pass rusher as well. So look for D-back and edge rusher to be one of their biggest key points going into this offseason, along with probably trying to find some depth in that interior offensive line. Now, of course, the big question, the Chicago Bears. What are the Bears going to do? Well, all reports say they're going to go ahead and go with Caleb Williams. We talked about this with Sean on the show before. I just think there's more you can get by keeping Justin Fields. I get the whole fact of now you'd have to pay Justin Fields coming up here because the end of his rookie deal is coming up. Trying to save that money, go with Caleb Williams. Curious to see with the Chicago Bears. I know they're probably going to be in the market for a wide receiver, as we had talked about, getting probably one of the better wide receivers in a very deep class that's coming out. If you watch the combine, these guys look amazing. They look very good. Look, they all look fast. I mean, they're all superiorly fast. I was amazed by the 40 times. They are all fast. And this should be an interesting draft for the Chicago Bears coming up. What did they do? Did they go with Caleb Williams? It's an exciting thing to watch. I'm curious to see. I believe we are going to get with Brad on doing another show live stream on the First and Mad show, live from Mad Maddie's. I don't know if that's going to be set in stone, but that is in the works. Hopefully we can put that together for you guys, and you guys can watch us on Facebook on the Mad Maddie's page and enjoy breaking down as they make selections, just like they do on ESPN. So it that could be a fun night. Please tune in. I'd love to see reactions from that. Love to see people's comments on that show. Other news in the NFL, Russell Wilson missed the unlimited visits with the Pittsburgh Steelers, looking for a home now that he'll probably be released by the Denver Broncos, as Sean Payton and company are looking to move on from the unlimited one and find talent elsewhere. I don't mind the fit in Pittsburgh. I think it's a good fit. I'm curious to see. It's a team that primarily wants to run the ball. I think that's where his strength is. It's kind of what Seattle did in his glory years. They ran the football, threw the ball particularly well. He was able to move around. But if they can pass protect and run the football, that should be good. They've got to address that offensive line, hopefully, if they do go there. Patrick Peterson out of Pittsburgh, he has been released. I know that saves him a ton of money in cap space. I believe he was set to make $9.9 million this year. Saves him, I think, 6.9 on cap and about 2.8 in the dead cap zone. So it was a financial move, business move by the Steelers. Curious to see what happens with Peterson now. I know he still does want to be a starter in this league, looking to make his career a little bit longer. He said he would even be open to moving into a safety role. But he does want to be a starter. I think that's going to be a little difficult for him. He might be one of those guys waiting to see what happens after camp, staying healthy, and see if there's any injuries and possible needs coming up for the other teams that weren't able to address their safety needs, and maybe he finds a home as a starter there. But that is all the time we have for today, guys. Thanks for joining me. I know these solo shows aren't as fun and engaging as the ones where we have the guest on. I do like doing it, and I will keep doing a weekly show releasing on Friday. Today was a little later, waiting to see the news from this trade deadline for the NHL. Wanted to make sure I got all of them out there. I'm sure there'll be some that I missed and some that, listen, I didn't think were relevant and maybe you think is a little bit more relevant than I thought. So please let me know. Listen, follow us along at Bay's Guys Locker Room on YouTube. Watch the show every Sunday. We'll release the show. Me and my father are doing it right now. We're talking Vegas Golden Knights on that show. That's where we're going to break down Vegas Golden Knights, and we'll do more in-depth stuff here on the podcast. Follow us along. Follow us on X at Vegas Guys Locker Room. Subscribe to the show. Get notified whenever we're on the air, guys. And we'll see you in the next one.